We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, everybody. We're going to review what happened at the PGA. We'll see Justin Thomas overcoming a cold shank, Mito Pereira not overcoming his, and a whole lot more while we also preview this week's Schwab Classic from Colonial as well. Welcome to Gaming Golf. Jeff Erickson here with Jeff Ritter and Scott Jenstad from Morning Read SI and SI Golf and RotoWire, respectively. Gentlemen, it was a wild PGA. We saw a huge turn in the weather. We saw tee times matter a lot. We still saw fun, you know, Saturday and Sunday despite that, and then just another pain down the stretch. But then triumph, too, with Justin Thomas. We were kind of on a lot of players, and one of them was Justin Thomas. Scott, I know you had a nice little wager on both of those guys, Justin Thomas and Mito Pereira. Obviously, Pereira would have paid off a hell of a lot more, though.
It would have. I mean, obviously, a lot more money on JT, so it worked out okay. And anytime you had an outright winner in golf, you got to be happy. But yeah, that 150-1, both for the money and for the bragging rights and for, you know, talking to you guys about it would have been a lot of fun. But at least when he blew it, it was for JT, and JT won the playoff. I was very worried that Will Z was going to. I didn't have him in my bets, and I had two of the top three, and not winning that would have been pretty painful. But it worked out pretty well, and you know, had a lot of those guys in DraftKings. It was a fun and good weekend both here and on the podcast.
Yeah, this was a good week for the podcast. Yeah. We overlapped with Mito. You put your money where your mouth was, but we both were on Cam Young.
Yep, that's right.
I was on Fitzpatrick. You of course had Justin Thomas. So we had a lot of, and I picked Rory, who's, you know, you're round one leader. So we had it. I mean,
yeah. And made it early and was making a run on Sunday early on too. And then just fizzled out.
Classic Rory. Good week for the podcast for sure. So
and hypnosis anyway. Wore off a little too soon on Rory. You know, that was the problem. He made his late charge too soon.
I think I saw a stat that he is he's minus -9 between the two majors, which like easily leads it. There's only like six guys that are under par for both majors.
I saw that.
And he's minus -9 and hasn't won either one. It's been a weird. He was so good in the last round of the Masters, then so good the first round this week. He just can't piece it all together.
Yeah. My takeaway is the Will Z strokes gained in majors thing. He's just tearing up the field with at least comparatively on strokes gained and ball striking at least. And I'm going to beat myself over the head and remind myself, okay, make sure Will Z is a part of it next time, because every major, he just steps up, and I need to get more of him there. Yeah, profitable week DK-wise. It could have gone 6-6 if it weren't for Alexander Noren, actually, surprisingly collapsing, but still made money.
Me too.
I had a JT, Mito, Cam Young lineup, so that paid the bills.
Nice. Yeah, the Will Z thing is really interesting, how he does not have a PGA Tour victory yet, correct? He has not won. Has he won anything? I don't think he's won a – has he won an event? I don't think he's won an event.
No, he's like in that easily best that hasn't won.
Best player. Yeah, I mean, hands down the best player in golf now without even a tour event win. But He's becoming this big game hunter, and even, you know, losing a playoff hurts, but he really doesn't emerge, I don't think, from that PGA with any scar tissue. Mito is, you know, looking at years of therapy, but I think Will Zeke still comes out of it as, like, you know, his reputation is only becoming, you know, further strengthened through these, I think, as opposed to weekend. He just got beat in that playoff. So I'm still pretty bullish on Zalatoris going forward.
His last win was July 2020 at the Colorado Championship on the Corn Ferry Tour.
Wow. There you go. Yeah.
Pretty wild that he hasn't won. I mean, he's got, what, two seconds in majors in the last, like, in the last, what, calendar year, a little more, 13 months. It's I couldn't believe the putting. I couldn't be able to putt on 18, first of all, but then the putting right. All week, he gained 4.5 strokes gained putting. Like, if that happens, like, look out, because the dude can just hit the hell out of the ball. But I don't know, if he can figure out the putting, it's hard to watch them. He's got, like, this, when they show the slow-mo from behind him, it's kind of like a weird, like, goes the wrong angle.
Yeah,
it's just gonna be hard for him to be consistent unless he kind of figures that stroke out.
There's a figure eight happening.
Yeah, and like
backstroke to follow through. That is
not the way it should be, but man, he can hit the ball.
I've learned not to critique other people's putting strokes or swing patterns or anything like that, because I know.
Oh, come on. But,
clearly, I'm comparing none of this to my golf game in any way.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Scottie Scheffler with the Friday night trunk slam. A little surprised at that. But then again, he was the late early guy, one of the late early guys. And you were commenting how that was such a big deal, which time slot you had, Scott.
Huge deal. I mean, I get to be the AM PM Thursday, Friday had such a huge edge. The afternoon out there on Friday was so much easier. The fact that JT won this tournament on the wrong side of the draw is probably the most amazing stat of the whole thing. His 67 on Friday was easily the best round of the whole tournament.
Yeah, it's hard to go against that Mother Nature sometimes. You see it most commonly in the British Open, although this one had you had four seasons happening at the PGA Championship, which doesn't normally happen, but it did in this case. And so, yeah, I would agree with you. Like, to win from the wrong side is very rare. And to win while shanking a shot in your final round also.
Yep.
We don't have, you know, stat cast on that one, but I would love to know. I don't think that's happened very often throughout history. Is
right. Guys. Right. Well, it happened early. I think that's one of the big things. It happened on a par three. So less damage there. He's able to scramble for bogey off of it too, which was huge. That, you know, just all those things can, you know, all those things happen at once that to help him out there a little bit there. But yeah, absolutely. You shank on 16. It's a lot different of a than when you do it on 6. You have more time to make up.
The crazy thing is he made like a 19 footer for bogey too. Like, that was looking back, he was so far back at that point, but huge putt. I think the funniest part of that was he was 130 out after his first shot in a par three, which you pretty much never see on a PGA Tour event ever.
Right. That's like, that's what you see on the Jeff Erickson Tour.
I've seen you hit that shot actually.
Yes, I have many times. Anything else from the PGA before we move on to the Schwab?
Can I say one thing about Tiger?
Yes, please.
It's so funny because, I mean, he was just in pain on Saturday. He was playing terribly. He was 10 over after 13 holes. I'm convinced that he looked at the scoreboard and knew what he needed to break 80. The guy went one under the last five holes to shoot 79. I've never got this just utterly competitive within himself. I just can't believe that he's like limping. He couldn't hit a ball. In fact, he's one under the last five holes to break 80. I thought it was pretty freaking amazing.
Yeah. You know, he kept on coming up short early on, and then I heard on the radio, they're like, well, you know, he's adjusted to get on the green and reg more often. You know, he's made the adjustment. No, he's just digging down. That's what he's doing there.
Do you think he plays at the U.S. Open?
I'm thinking no.
I'm thinking no, too. I think he skips and then plays St. Andrews.
Yeah, I don't know really what kind of walk Brookline is, but I think even with Augusta being a tough walk, that's a course Tiger knows. He knows every step he's going to take at Augusta. And you know, he felt good enough coming out of Augusta to play Southern Hills. But there's definitely like the toll that golf takes on his body is evident. I mean, he's out there Sunday, Monday. Everybody's talking about, oh, he looks good. He's clearly walking better, feeling great. And then it just deteriorates day by day. And he caught a bad weather day, of course, on Saturday that just like obviously – that was the worst break of all for him, is to have to go out and play on a 55 degree day. So I don't know. I just think this one took a lot out of him and probably showed him, you know, what he has to do to play four rounds now. So my guess is he's going to sit out the U.S. Open, but
I think he sits out the U.S. Open, plays the British, and nothing else this year.
Yeah,
that'd be my guess too.
Yeah, so which stinks, but hey, it's at least one more than Phil's going to play. So there's that.
And we got to make the cut at two majors. Like, that's pretty amazing. A year ago, nobody would have guessed that.
Phil has eight live golf events in front of him. What are you talking about?
Like, yeah, exactly. All right. That's a perfect segue because you made a trade in our league. And we got to talk about this. You did a little fake press release, which was awesome. And you're an email announcing the trade. You traded away Patrick Reed finally. How did you do it? What did you get?
Yes. I imagine the two of you were kicking yourselves because Patrick Reed was offered to you live on air multiple times this season.
Yes,
it's always weird, history. You know, when you see the trade happen somewhere else and you go, oh man, did I miss my chance? I traded Patrick Reed straight up for Bryson DeChambeau, the night that DeChambeau pulled out, withdrew with, he's still recovering from wrist surgery. I felt like it was a buy low opportunity. I've made no bones about it that I was trying to get out from underneath my Patrick Reed investment. And I'm sitting there in sixth place out of 15, I think, in this league. And I just felt like Patrick Reed's not going to help me. I got to take a high variance shot. And so I felt like there's a chance that Bryson could come back and do something the second half of this year. Our league goes all the way through the FedEx Cup playoffs. So I just felt like I don't want to come in sixth. I'm willing to risk finishing 15th for the shot at hitting the podium. So I felt like Bryson, there's more upside play there to at least take a stab at it, that maybe he'll come back and get healthy at some point this summer and do more than Patrick Reed might, especially if Reed, as we all sort of suspect, might be on this LIV Golf thing and might also go away. I don't know. I'm just guessing.
I hadn't heard that name. I don't know.
I feel like he usually plays a Saudi event anyway. So he could be one. I don't know, but I just felt like there's also a chance there that he might get tied up in this, and it made me want to move faster.
All that public goodwill he'd spoil, though. I don't know.
My main takeaway is how awful is the Jeff Ritter clubhouse when Reed does nothing all year, you trade him and he shoots minus one in his first round of major right afterwards. Like, how happy was he to be off?
Toxic. It's toxic. You could just tell
there was like a monkey off his back. He was so happy to be off your team. He was a different guy out there.
I was happy for Justin, who I traded with. I wanted Reed to make the cut because I still feel like I like my side of this trade more, but I wanted, you know, I don't want the person I traded to just like go out and,
right,
you know, I want my trading partner to feel good about it too. So
your email announcing it was an all time fantastic email moment. That was exceptionally well done.
Thanks. Well, when you have two beloved characters in golf being traded for each other, you got to just take the opportunity to have some fun with that. So happy to couldn't resist.
Well, you won't have the chance to make up the stagger this week with Bryson. He is withdrawn again from the Schwab Classic.
Fine. That's fine.
Yeah.
I'm good with that.
But let's talk about who will be there. And we'll start off as we usually do with the tier one being $10,000 or more. Scottie Scheffler, 11-2. I think that's the same price as last week, if I'm not mistaken. JT is at 11,000. Colin Morikawa, 10-7. Jordan Spieth, 10-4. Will Z, 10-1. That's a step up in price. And Victor Hovland, 10,000. Hovland also missed the cut, which we kind of predicted just because of the limitations in his game at that particular course. But, guys, what jumps out to you this week at those prices at Colonial?
I don't love the tier, to be honest. It's such a deep field. I feel like a lot of these guys are coming off something pretty significant. Maybe Scheffler is the most interesting just because he's had the weekend off, but I don't know. I mean, Justin Thomas, it was an amazing victory coming back for seven shots. Certainly feels good about himself, but I don't know. Unless it's like prime Tiger Woods, I just tend to avoid guys right after a major championship victory. Spieth is sort of interesting, but he's had such a lousy putting week. I just wonder if Spieth might have peaked a few weeks ago, you know. So I don't know. And Zalatoris, I mean, he was incredible, but you know, I don't know what kind of state or stamina he has left after the week he had. So I think the depth of this field makes the 9,000 tier more appealing to me this week than anybody in the tents.
So it's going to be fun because we're really different than this week because I do not like the nines aside from one guy. I think that I was playing with this. You guys obviously didn't know who the guy is, but as I was playing with this, I kind of like either two guys in the tens or one guy in the tens and one guy in the nines. The two guys in the tens I like are probably different than you're going to think I like. I really like Jordan Spieth this week. You look at – Jeff mentioned the putting. He was bad. He putted terribly last week. But you look at shot gain tee to green was 8.6. On approach is 4.7. Better numbers than Justin Thomas last week in both those stats, the guy who won the tournament. It's just that Spieth putted terribly. Thomas putted incredibly well. It was the only difference between them. Spieth had, he hit the ball better was the putting. And I – you know, there was a while there where Spieth was like, you know, making all the 25-footers and scrambling and still hanging in there because he wasn't hitting it well. But you look at the last 4 weeks, and the last 4 weeks that have been tracked. He missed the cut at the Masters, but he's hit the ball incredibly well. He's 10-4 this week. I like him as a drop down from Scheffler and from JT. I actually really like Victor Hovland this week, too. If you look at the last 24 rounds, still ball striking really well. He's third in the field in ball striking. He's second at approach. Just a brutal short game, but he actually was a little bit better last week. He actually gained strokes around the green at Southern Hills. Finished 41st at the PGA, so kind of hung in there. Good tee to green. I like a Spieth Hovland start this week. If you do that, you give yourself a 7,400 for player. I like a lot of guys in the 7,000s. I don't think the 7,000s are that much different this week. So I'm probably going to go 1-9 and 1-9 and 1-10 or 2-10 this week and kind of drop down after that.
Interesting. And, you know, both guys, you know, Spieth made the cut. Hovland didn't, but Spieth was never in contention.
Hovland made the cut too.
Oh, he did. He did. I'm sorry.
Yeah. He was 40. He wasn't in the mix, but he was 41st, I think.
Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. I'm an idiot, as always. Yeah, this is why I do so well in our golf leagues, is because I have such great command of the facts.
He was pretty much irrelevant the whole weekend.
Yeah. But he shot 370s and 175. Saturday kind of blew up, but a lot of people blew up on Saturday. Not the greatest shame in the world. Let's move on to those nines then. There's one that you like. Let's go ahead. But Sam Burns at 97, Scott's guy Max Homa at 94, Abraham Anser at 93, Sung Jae at 92, Tony Finau 91, Daniel Berger 9,000. Scott, is it Homa that we're talking about, or is it somebody else?
It's absolutely Homa. There's a guy in this range. It's going to take. It's going to be Homa. Played exceptionally well again last week. Gained 7.4 shots tee to green, 6.9 approach. I mean, better numbers than Justin Thomas in both the stats. Again, like he just played really well. Just kind of putted average. Lost a little bit around the green. You just look at 9 tournaments in 2022, 7 top 20s. If you look at this field over the last 24 rounds, 2nd in ball striking, 1st off the tee, 3rd in approach, 15th in putting. He's just doing everything really well. I think his odds are a little bit too low this week. He's down in the 20s to win, so that might be tough. But 9,400, easily my favorite in this range, and I think he's fairly priced and very, very usable. I will be pairing him with a guy in the 10s on some lineups for sure.
I'm on Max Homa. I'm move over in the bandwagon. I'm jumping on.
Absolutely.
He was excellent last week, and I love him at the price. I also like Sam Burns. So my build would be Burns Homa.
All right.
And skip the 10,000 tier, and I got a few guys in the 8s as well. But I think Sam Burns also very consistent season. I think he finished 20th last week. Decent putting week, but just ball striking again. This is a Colonial actually, to me, kind of profiles similar to Southern Hills in that you like to see approach shots, you like to see a tee to green game, and you know maybe it's a week where it's not necessarily putting a putting contest like you might see at say the U.S. Open coming up. So I think it's a similar course fit. Players who played well at Southern Hills, if they can carry that momentum, I think they got another course that fits their wheelhouse this week in Colonial.
Really narrow fairways. So you got to be, and it's punitive too. If you miss, there's a lot of trees out there. You got to be, you gotta hit your driver in the fairway is going to the key out here. It looks like.
So it's not so bad that Bryson's not playing anyhow then for you, Scott. I mean, Jeff, that you got that going for you there. That it would have been punished anyways.
He would just drive it over the trees and wouldn't be a problem.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. 8,000s. Taylor Gooch at 89, Tommy Fleetwood, 88. Webb Simpson, 87. Mito, up to 86. That's some respect. Putting some respect on his name now. I like it there. Billy Horschel, 85. Davis Riley, also putting some respect on that at 84. Bryson was 83, no longer. Jason Kokrak is at 82. Kevin Na, 81. Bubba Watson also withdrew. He was going to be at 8,000. That would have been a pretty decent price for him after his showing over the weekend. Jeff Ritter, you get to start in this range. Who do you like?
Well, his price is coming up, but I still, Davis Riley finished 13th last week, and that's his worst result in the last month. So I'm still going to keep going to the well on him and his consistency. I also think Tommy Fleetwood is a guy now that's playing better, but maybe not even peaking yet. You know, I think we've seen what Tommy Fleetwood can do at his peak, which is put himself right there at major championships. He finished fifth at the PGA.
Yep.
Without necessarily contending to win, but just had a really solid week. And so you feel like that might be a guy who's still ascending. Not a lot of course history, but maybe this is the right fit for him. And then I would still drop down. Kevin Na is a winner at this event before. This is that type of ball strikers profile. You know, that's Kevin Na music. This isn't a course you necessarily need to overpower. Power hitters might hit a lot of three woods anyway. So, but I like Kevin Na as a consistent, sneaky, kind of backdoor top 15 this week. And at that price, that plays.
Well, we were different early and we are dead matched here. I'm very similar to you. I really like Fleetwood this week. You look at the last seven tournaments, six top 25s, gained tee to green and approach in five straight events, just playing really well. You mentioned the PGA finished fifth, but hit it really well too. It's not like he had a weird, I mean, putted well, but not a huge fluke week there. Gained 8.7 tee to green, 4.7 approach, finished fifth. Just playing really good golf right now. I think the price is really solid for him. And I like Kevin Na also. Really good ball striking lately. He finished 23rd last week. Played well on the green, hit it well in the approach and tee to green. Hit it really well in Mexico the week before that. Hit it well RBC before that. So just playing really well. Three top 30s last four events. I agree with you. I think it's a tournament that ball striking Kevin Na could come in and win here. I got no argument with Davis Riley. I was going to leave him for you because I know you're the Davis Riley fan. Do you guys are you guys buying into Webb Simpson at all? 8,700 coming off the playing really well finally at the PGA last week. Finished 20th, hit it really well tee to green, had that really good round. I think it was on Saturday. Are you guys buying in on Webb at all? Kind of maybe he's turned it around.
Maybe, but for $100, I like Fleetwood more.
I do too.
Webb, it just feels like it really came out of nowhere and quickly, whereas Fleetwood's been building towards this. And so that's where I would go. But Simpson's interesting. You know, if you want to, he'll probably be less owned than Fleetwood, I would think.
I agree with you. I kind of like the turnaround, but I couldn't do it over Fleetwood myself either.
As previously alluded, Webb Simpson's on my season long team. So let that be your final deterrent.
So you're saying scratch him off now.
Yeah. Probably going to have a Thursday morning withdrawal. And we'll see. That did happen once already with him this season. Can you fit Fleetwood in under your plan though, Scott? That's the big question.
Probably if I go two tens or a 10 in home, I cannot. So it'd be one of those, maybe a third lineup as a balanced lineup, maybe go home of Fleetwood and Nah, something like that build. But yeah, no, if you go the two tens, it does not work.
Yeah. You're dipping pretty deep into the sixes otherwise to make those last three spots.
Yeah. You got 7,400 for three guys or four guys. And if you put an 8,800 in there, it just doesn't work. So it's a different build. If you want to get off home, I think home will be pretty, pretty popular. I think either Hovland or Spieth with Fleetwood is a pretty good start too. I do like that. And then maybe get a little more balance. So you get the higher sevens, and then maybe another guy in the eights to play with that.
Very good. Very good. All right, before moving to the 7,000s, a quick note from our sponsors on the Blue Wire Network.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome back. You're listening to Gaming Golf. Jeff Erickson here with Jeff Ritter and Scott Jenstad. Let's move into the sevens. It's a pretty deep tier. Again, I will not name them one by one. Instead, I will allow you guys to pick and choose who you like in this group, starting with Scott this time.
I love the 7,500 to 8,000 range this week. I think there's five or six guys in there that I think are very playable. With the build I was talking about before, two guys at the top, I think you get three guys in here, then one guy in the sixes, and it works really nicely. But my favorite here, and a guy that I'm actually betting to win this week, is Harold Varner III at 7,800. He was 48th at the PGA, but you look at it, he hit the ball exceptionally well last week. He gained 8.4 tee to green, 4.9 on the green, 3.9 approach. He just putted terribly. Lost over five strokes putting. Like he putts average, and it's a top 10 last week. So he played really well. He's made five straight cuts. Within those five, he got two top sixes. He was sixth of the players. He was third at RBC Heritage. He was top 35 at both majors, or top, I guess, what is it, top 50 at both majors. So just playing really good golf, strong tee to green, strong approaches in the last four events. I think Varner is a good bet this week. I think he's a really great DraftKings play at 7,800. At the same price, my other favorite guy in here, I really like Brian Harman, who played really well last week, was 34th, hit it really well. That's back-to-back weeks where he gained significantly both tee to green and on approach. Really good ball striking there in Wells Fargo. He's made last five events, he's made four cuts. He's got two top 10s. So not only someone that can make the cut, but also can get up the leaderboard. There's a lot of guys in the range I think are playable. I think Woodland's playable. I like Chris Kirk a lot after the fifth last week. He hit it really well last week also, but Varner, Harm, probably my two favorites, but I wouldn't argue against Kirk. I wouldn't argue against Tom Hoagie. I wouldn't argue against Woodland. I think this range is just chock full of guys that are playable. And one of the main reasons why I'm going kind of two guys at the top is I can play a lot of guys in this range.
I like this range too. I didn't flag Varner, although those were good stats. I did have Brian Harman, who I believe led the field in ball striking over the weekend at the PGA, if I'm not mistaken. He's a guy that can get hot with his irons, and not a power player, not a big guy, but this is the type of course where someone of his profile can succeed. And like Scott said, he exits the PGA with some momentum. I also think a sneaky pick this week, I think, is Justin Rose, who has won this event before, has been nowhere all year. I believe the PGA was the first time he played anywhere since the Masters, but he had a good week at the PGA. And I had to dig this one out, but he's played the Colonial eight times. He's made the cut eight times. So I think at this price, well, you know, he's someone that you like him to make the cut and maybe do a little bit more with it. So, and then Sebastian Munoz, I think he was third at the Nelson, and he was third at the Colonial last year. So Munoz, a guy just also feels like he's ascending, and maybe that price isn't necessarily reflective of it. So, but I agree, there's a lot here in this tier. And Woodland also is playable, just continues to pop up. A little bit streaky, you know, he popped up in Florida, you know, here and there, but he had a good week at the PGA, and I feel like this is a course where someone like him could do some damage as well. So a lot to like in this area of the board. Yeah.
Munoz made eight straight cuts, all those in the top 40. He's playing really, really well right now.
I like that. I like that one a lot. How about the lower 7,000s? Jeff, we'll go with you first this time.
Well, similar to Brian Harman, I think the Brian Harman light might be Kevin Kisner, who's also had a streaky year. But this, again, is that type of golf course. I think he's a past champ. I was going to dig that out. I think he's a past winner at this event. And then Ryan Palmer is sort of interesting to me at this price, although I would probably try to get as many guys in the 75 to 79 range. But we talk a lot about Texans playing well in Texas. Ryan Palmer is a member at Colonial. And so he's played this event something like 15 times or, you know, so I don't know. And he's actually quietly had a decent spring as well. So he's interesting at that price as well. But I probably like the top half of the 7,000s more than the bottom.
Kisner won in 2017, by the way.
Yep. He did win.
There you go.
Okay.
I like the top half of this range significantly more. I'm probably going to live there and then live a couple guys in the 6,000s. We'll talk about in a second. If I'm just going recent form, I think James Hahn is playable here. He's back-to-back top 10s. He was ninth at Wells Fargo, ninth at AT&T. Hit it really well at AT&T. Did not hit it great at Wells Fargo. Putted really well, but I like the fact that he hit it really well the week after. So a little more, you know, I like the results a little more there. I think David Lipsky is playable at 7,000. Coming off, he's got three top 25s his last five starts. But I don't love this range. Are either of you guys going to play Ricky Fowler with back-to-back top 25s?
Nah. Although I'm
that was easy.
I'm becoming interested. but not yet.
He actually played legit well at the PGA. Yeah. I don't, I'm not trusting it yet. And 7400, there's a couple of guys right above him I like a little bit more, but, the last 2 weeks have been the first time in a while that I'm like, that kind of looks like the old Ricky, assuming he stays on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, I could see it. I mean, it just, it's a leap of faith at this point in time. And the thing is, I don't feel like you're ever getting the bonus of him being lower rostered, because there's always people out there that like him.
Always. Yeah, that's a fair point. But you look at, he was top 10 in shot gain, treated gain last week at the PGA. So you hit it really well.
Yeah. How about Cam Davis? Any interest in him?
I think there's just others around. What did he do last week?
He finished 48th. He made the cut. Yeah,
just third at the Heritage.
It feels all over the place. I think that, you know, he's one of those guys that can really hit the board or miss the cut. It's just I just like the other guys around here more than I do Cam. But yeah, I think he's a guy that can. I mean, won last year and can hit the leaderboard too. But just a little inconsistent at the moment for me.
And to your point about in two tournaments ago at the Wells Fargo, went 67-75, missed the cut. You know,
there you go.
Yeah, that's pretty much it right there.
He almost pulled the rare Keegan of leading the tournament after day one and then missing the cut after day two, which is a special accomplishment.
Yeah, yes, indeed it is. All right, let's move on to the 6,000. Scott, you said you liked a guy in the 6,000s.
I like a couple, actually. I think that there's a couple down here that are playable. My favorite is someone that we talked about 2 weeks ago for the AT&T. He'd been coming off a couple of top 15s. Finished 38th that week is Steven Yeager. He's got three straight made cuts, 38th, 6th, and 15th, and hit the ball really well at AT&T. We didn't talk about a lot after that because he finished 38th, but he made the cut as a really cheap guy. But gained 6.3 tee to green, 4.6 on approach, just putted badly that week. He putted okay at Wells Fargo and well in Mexico. So coming off three good tournaments. But you look at this, he's someone that was insanely good last year in the Korn Ferry. You look at his game log at the Korn Ferry, that he had a win in there and just a slew of top fives. So he's someone that once he gets up there, I don't think he'll feel pressure. I think he can play well. Ball striking's been good, really good three tournaments in a row. We don't quite have the Mito Pereira 6,700 this week, but I really like Steven Yeager at 6,800. I like him as a top 10, top 20 kind of bet too. I think he's finally has figured out the PGA Tour, struggled early after being so good on Korn Ferry. I think he's figured some stuff out. I think he's going to be a name to be reckoned with here in the second half of the season. And then I'm probably going to jump Jeff here, but Austin Smotherman is 6,300. He's got four straight missed cuts, back-to-back top 25s. Gained really well off on the tee to green at the AT&T. If you look at this field, you just take the entire field, you kind of break it down the last 24 rounds. Obviously, he's way, way down the pricing, but 12th in ball striking in this whole entire field, 16th in approach. Like, you have a guy who's top 20 in those two stats that we talk about constantly over and over again, and he's priced 6,300. I can't not slide him in a lineup or two.
At this point, I wonder if we just sent Smotherman's team like a gaming golf PDF and just
right,
yeah, you know, do with it what you will. You know, here's a PNG logo. You know, would it appear on the golf bag? Would we get the sleeve? Feels like we'd end up the hat's probably a bit presumptuous, but
there like can't be anyone that likes Austin Smother more in this podcast, right?
I know. The stats love him. I mean, yeah. you called it. I mean, it's like, how is this guy not? Like the numbers say the breakthrough is coming. Yep. And, you know, so I mean, yes, I had him flagged as well off this group. The other person I had, Patton Kizzire, I think is somewhat interesting at 6,900. He was third at this event last year, quietly made the cut at the PGA, quietly made the cut at the Nelson. It hasn't been a year, but I think, you know, at these prices, you're just looking for just get through to the weekend. I kind of like Kizzire, but Smotherman's my favorite at an even bigger discount. You know, the world someday the world will catch on, or maybe he'll just win something or at least top three somewhere. And, you know, that'll be the end of the 6,000 range for him. But
just weird that he went down. Like, he's been the kind of 67, 68, yeah. He went down to 6,300, which is strange. So, Danny McCarthy is also in here. 6,800 has made 8 straight cuts. Obviously we talked about putting's a little variable, but he's someone that's an elite putter, like almost every tournament, like he gains every week. So, I like Yeager more, but I think McCarthy's workable if you want to make a cut. I think Adam Long, if you want to go a little more, kind of shoot for the moon, is interesting. He had back-to-back top 15s before the Wells Fargo missed cut, but, give me Yeager and Smotherman with McCarthy's a third. But I think there's some more playable names in the 6,000 I thought there'd be in a field like this.
I saw Joe Sheehan picked up Adam Schenck in our league, who is priced at the 6,000 minimum this week.
Do you think Adam Schenck would get picked up and drop this off and if his name wasn't Schenck? Because it's funny when people pick him up.
I can't believe it's not Peter Schenke that is the guy that is picking up and dropping him constantly, right? Though.
It does feel like a miss.
Yeah. Schenck was 41st at the PGA, made the cut last week, putted really well, was ninth at Wells Fargo 3 weeks ago. So yeah, 6,000, made three cuts in a row. I could see that. I could see that working. But yeah, he's all over the place with tee to green. He's lost strokes four last five events. So I'm going to pass.
All right, very good. Let's head on over to sisportsbook.com and take a look at our draft, our bet card here, because that's where the real action was for Scott last week. Lots of action going down there. This week, what are you looking at?
I still wish I saw your reaction when you saw my text with full of expletives. Amito hit the ball in the water on 18.
I wish I was. So that's when I was at the soccer tournament. So I wasn't watching the tournament at the time. Then I knew something happened to Amito.
Right.
I knew that. Because I knew you were talking him up on the pod. I knew he'd been watching all day. And I think you were like blankety blank ill.
Yeah.
And
I was.
Poor Amito. Something happened.
That's the worst swing. I mean, everybody's talking about Vandeveld, and he was up three, so different. But that swing on 18 is like the worst swing I've seen from a PGA guy in a clutch spot. Like his swing, it was a completely different swing than anything he did the entire week.
Totally rushed it, right?
Yeah, he did. And he like finished it off to the side, and then he didn't even look at his chip. He just got in full fast forward panic mode. But no, it was funny. But Jeff, go ahead. I got your bets first. Go for it.
All right. So I was just jotting down my last one. I love the top fives and top tens, you know, off the SI Sportsbook as opposed to just the straight ticket. But Max Homa, 28-1. I like it. Tommy Fleetwood, 33-1. I like that too. And then the top fives, Davis Riley at 8.5-1, Sebastian Munoz, 10-1, and Brian Harman for a top five. I'm showing that 8.5-1 again.
Yep, but
I like all three of those.
Yeah, I like those names too. It's a good point in the top five and top ten because we also gave out the Mito top ten last week at 12-1. So obviously, despite the ball in the water, I mean that obviously paid off nicely too. I'm gonna go a couple of guys near under 40-1. Then some longer shots here. I really like Jordan Spieth this week, but I can't pay the price. 11-1 is just a little too high for me in a field with a lot of big names.
It's a worse price than JT.
Yeah, he's actually favorite. SI Sportsbook, he's 11. JT and Scheffler are 12, which is pretty wild. I can't do it. I really like him this week, but I can't pay the price. So I'm going to drop down. I'm going to go Victor Hovland at 20-1, kind of the lowest price of the elite, the 10,000 guy on DraftKings. I really like him to contend this week. I think 21 is a good price there. Definitely go Tommy Fleetwood at 33-1. I'm going to join Jeff Ritter on that one. I think the 33 is a really good price for him. Then I'm going to drop down. I think that I'm going to go Kevin Knott, 45-1. Harold Varner III for sure at 50-1. I haven't decided if I'm going to go Harman at 40-1, if I could snide another bet in there or not, but he was the other one. And then I'm dropped down. Steven Yeager, I'm going to drop the bomb at 110-1, but also a top 10 on Yeager. I think a top 10 on Yeager is 11-1 right now. If I'm looking at it's 11-1 on SI Sportsbook right now. So I like that as a top 10. I think he's someone that's going to compete here pretty quickly. So I like him. I like him kind of maybe not to win this week, but get in contention. So those are my bets this week. Hopefully we can go 3 out of 4. It's been a fun little stretch here.
That was, I'm so proud of you, Scott, because you just snuck in the Yeager bomb. I know you did that. You're hoping no one would notice, but I noticed.
Every once in a while, I got to feed you one, Jeff. It's got to be reciprocal every once in a while.
You know, you're keeping up with the Meister as far as it goes on those Yeager puns, but there, you know, hey, that's pretty good. All right. Very good. We got to finish up with one and dones. Scott, you get to go first because you made Jeff go first on the bets.
That's a good call right there. I have to look and see who I've taken, but I think I'm going to go Jordan Spieth there because I took Hideki last week, so I do have Spieth available. Between Spieth and Hovland, I don't like the odds on Spieth to win, but I'm going to bet him. I'm going to take my one and done. I think this is a week that he's going to win.
I've used Spieth. I do like that pick, but I'm between Homa and Fleetwood, and I am going to lock it in. Or Genstead favorite Max Homa in the one and done league.
I have used Homa and Fleetwood, or they would have been both the top of my list too. I don't know where I used Fleetwood. I'm sure it didn't work out well, but I used Homa and Fleetwood. But I love that. I love Homa.
Yeah, and I locked in mine already. I used Homa and Spieth as my alternate. So really original this week here. So give me Homa.
Yeah, what it done really is fun. It's just so hard taking them once because, like, last week I had used Justin Thomas, so I couldn't get there. But it's a tough little puzzle putting it together, and I've just kind of missed on guys I like I've used and the other way around. So hopefully I can get a win here.
Yeah, it'd be nice to book one here. All right, that's going to wrap up gaming golf for this week. Thanks, everybody, for the continued listening and support. We do appreciate it there. We have a lot of fun doing it. As always, if you have any suggestions for us, anything you'd like to see or hear from us, please let us know. We'll address it in the next podcast. So, again, thanks for listening, everybody. Good luck in the Schwab Classic, and we'll be back at it again next week. Take care.